When someone in your family is going through depression, it's hard to know what to say, and I said everything wrong. I'm Sam. Our family went through it, and I just kept saying, come on, let's get it together. The thing I should have been saying is, let's get you to the center, a place of hope. It's a place for you or a place for someone you love who's struggling with depression, anxiety, trauma, eating disorders. So many success stories. It's personal to me. They've actually saved the lives of people I love. If you felt like, I don't know what to do to dig out of this really dark place, and you've tried everything and you can't think of what to do next, make a phone call right now. Call the Center, a Place of Hope.
Hey, this is Dr. Tim Clinton, president of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you or someone you love is in a tough spot, stuck, maybe in need of serious help, someone to talk to, you need somebody, I want you to write down this number for the Center, a Place of Hope. The number is 888-726-8125. That number again, 888-726-8125. I think if you write that number down, you're going to be glad you did. I have referred a number of people, a great number of people, to this ministry for special mental health care. They're outstanding. I can give them highest praise. That number again, 888-726-8125. Speak to our colleagues, the admissions team at the Center, a Place of Hope. Asking for help is hard. Finding help shouldn't be, especially Christ-centered help. Our friends at A Place for Hope, they're here to help. I hope you'll call today, and may God bless you.
Welcome to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors, the world's leading organization for Christian mental health care providers and advocates, with over 50,000 engaged members and students. I'm Jim Kress, and on behalf of our hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, thanks for making us a part of your day. We appreciate your time and support for what we do to help you grow better relationships and a deeper faith. Give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. Call our constituent care team at 800-526-8673 for information on AACC resources, courses, scholarships, and live events. And if you like what you hear on today's broadcast, tell a friend. And join us on social media for more content. Just go to timclinton.com to find out more. And now let's join our host, Zach Clinton.
Thank you, Jim. I'm Zach Clinton. My guest today is the ever-bold, iconic frontman for the band Skillet. He is John Cooper. John, welcome to Life, Love, Faith, and Family.
Yeah, good to see you, Zach. You ready to have some fun?
Ready to have some fun, my friend. I tell you what, John, growing up as a kid, still one of my best friends to this day, his name is Spencer Shock. And growing up, we used to absolutely love listening to Skillet on repeat. We called him Spencer Shock, the kid who loved rock. And man, I just can't wait to just sit down with you today to dive deeper into your story and to hear the ways that God is continuing to use and speak in and through you, but also in and through Skillet. Just up front, Skillet, 22-time platinum band. You guys have something special coming out, a new album this November titled Revolution. Up front, I gotta ask you, John, what's it like as you're preparing and building up for the release of a new album, and why do you think this album is so crucial and needed for such a time as this?
Well, first of all, I like your friend who likes to rock. He must be
that's right.
He must be absolutely awesome. No. Yeah, thank you. You know, you prepare. It's just busy. And I know that sounds silly. Everybody's busy. Everybody that works is busy. But when you're putting out a record, you're hammering it, and it's exhausting. And usually you're touring at the same time because you're trying to get the music out. You're coming on podcasts. You're sharing this message. You know, typically I always feel like I'm excited about the records we release. Let's just be honest. You always feel, well, I don't know if everybody feels this way. As a Christian musician, I always believe that God is leading me in the songs that I'm writing, and that I have something to say that I sure hope that I sure hope is in some way from the Lord. I mean, that's the hope. And so I don't want to say that, like, this one's way different. It's the first time it's been relevant. But I will say this album is special because it is so poignant because the times have changed so much. I mean, I think most all of us would agree with that. It's a different time than 6 years ago. I mean, 10 years ago, everybody kind of understood the culture. Things weren't changing like every 5 minutes. I mean, things are changing so quickly. The culture is shifting. Technology is shifting. The way we use language is shifting. And it's a very difficult time because of that. And so this record is, I believe, very poignant for the times we're in. It is called Revolution. Some people said, you really don't want to release a record in November 4 days from an election because it's like not the best marketing, you know, but because, I mean, everything is sucked up with election, you know, election. But I just felt we have to, because this volatility of politics has become religion in America as we have gone away from God, of course. Something's going to fill that void that, you know, people are looking for a totalizing narrative. And if you take God out of the story, then obviously his number one rival comes in. Who's his number one rival? The state, right? You know, some sort of overarching government to answer, to feed you, to protect you, to provide for you, to be your God, to be your father. So as that is happening, people are looking to politics in a very religious fashion. And this record is coming out saying, we need a revolution.
I cannot wait to see the impact that revolution has, again, for such a time as this. You know, as you're talking about culture and society, it's been heartbreaking to see the way in which evil's being called good, good's being called evil. A friend of mine, Dr. Carl Benzio, says people are dying because the truth is dying. You released a book back in 2020 called Awake and Alive to Truth, Finding Truth in the Chaos of a Relativistic World, where, in a sense, our preferences, our feelings, like you're mentioning, have become our God. You guys with Skillet have been on tour for over 20 years, though. You've been in front of a lot of people. You've had the opportunity of ministering to a lot of people, hearing a lot of the challenges, the common themes that people are experiencing, John. I'm interested, as you continue to go on tour, as you continue to sit with people and hear the midst of their pain, what are some of those themes that are really sticking out to you and that have you maybe concerned, but also opportunistic in terms of ways we can help for such a time as this?
That's a fantastic question. And, you know, I've got some good news. We don't always offer good news.
That's right. That's
and,
right.
You know, it's like it's because so much it really is crazy. But I do have some good news. I'll share the kind of the bad news first, and end with the positive side, which is very, very hopeful in my mind. What I saw and what led to me writing my book. By the way, I like that quote you say: "People are dying because truth is dying." I think is what you yep. said. I love that. Yep. Absolutely. The reason I wrote my book, Awaken Alive to Truth, people can find that on Amazon, is because I noticed it in America in 2014 is when I began to see these major shifts happen. To me, I didn't know what it was. I didn't have the words for it. Now I understand what it is, and I would probably put it in the framework of secular social justice or critical social justice, some people call it. But it was when you started beginning to see morality shift in a big way.
Yeah.
People crying out for justice, whether it's racial justice or economic justice, they have all these different, you know, various names for it. The thing that really shocked me was as I began to see a lot of Christians beginning to change their positions on moral issues. Probably, namely, the biggest one for me was probably on abortion, because that had been so my whole lifetime, it had just been such a secure. Most all evangelicals that I ever knew were staunchly pro-life. I began to see that change, along with some of the other social justice things. And I began to say, what's going on with this? Postmodernism leads to nihilism. It leads to anger. It leads to rage. Because what do you do when you find out there is no truth? There is nothing sure that I can put my feet on. There is nothing that's absolutely right and wrong. There is nothing that says, this is how I am supposed to treat my neighbor for sure, that never changes. There's something that never says, this is how you are a good parent or a bad parent. This is what is good and what is evil, as you alluded to earlier. We're in a time where people call evil good and good evil.
Yeah.
Well, why do they do that? Because they don't believe that there's anything that is for sure forever. Mm-hmm. But the Bible says that the flowers fade and the grass withers, but the word of God stands forever. And so Amen. Now we're seeing all of this craziness, and we are seeing the highest rates of depression in American history. The amount of people that are medicated, legally medicated in this country, more than the whole world. I mean, more than like all of Europe put together. It's so absolutely shocking. The number one cause of death in America is the legalized murder of the unborn. It's by far the number one cause of death in America. It's not cancer. It's not heart disease. We're killing more people than cancer. It's absolutely insane. So the good news is this. I mean, I think that a lot of people said it. I know I did. I'm sure you guys said it too. That sort of hopelessness and depression will eventually lead to people asking questions. And this is the hopeful part, man. There are so many people getting saved right now. People that you never, ever thought would come to Christ. And a lot of people that are more like celebrities, people like Russell Brand. I mean, people that you never thought would come to Christ. There's an English atheist historian. He wrote a book called Dominion, and basically it is a sort of masterpiece. It's history. It's a masterpiece basically making the case that Western civilization is good, is just, and was built on Christianity. But he's an atheist, and he's basically saying we should keep fighting for this. And now he has a podcast. I can't remember the name of the podcast. He's a great historian. And you listen to his podcast over the last 2 years and you go, man, this guy sounds like he's about to get saved. Lo and behold, he's like, all right, wait a minute. If all these things if there is truth, and if all these things have built a civilization that is wonderful, and now I believe in evil, then maybe there's a God, and now he's getting saved. You're seeing this all over the place. We're seeing it in the rock and roll industry. It's actually the first interview I've ever shared this. There are so many secular rock singers coming to Christ right now. The people you never thought would come to Christ because they are truth seekers. And so what we're seeing, what the enemy didn't plan on, was as he has created this absolutely hopeless situation, we serve a God who brings hope to the hopeless. We serve a God who puts the lonely in families. We serve a God who gives you hope and a future, and their eyes are beginning to wake up. So I'm pretty excited about that. That was the longest answer ever, but there's the hope.
I love what you're saying, though, John, because then it takes me back to your new album. And there's a song on the new album, Revolution, that's titled Unpopular. Dr. Michael Brown from the Christian Post said this about the new single. Unpopular could be the song that liberates young people and old people from the paralyzing grip of peer pressure and that breaks the chains of conformity to the crowd. John, when I think of that word unpopular, I want to ask this question because there's a lot of mom and dads, and they may be asking the question, well, how do I take a stand? How do I not conform to the ways of culture, to the ways of my circumstances, but how do I conform to the image of Christ? What is, in a sense, a practical step that somebody today can begin taking again to not start with what they see, but to start with what God has said?
I love that you brought up Michael Brown. He's a friend of mine, and I love what he wrote. When he wrote that article, that Unpopular, I said to him, I said, man, you explained Unpopular better than I could, and I wrote the song. This is something that everybody listening is going to know. This is Hebrews chapter 5. We all know this. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. We all know this. Most of us, or certainly me, I always thought of milk being like, okay, the elementary principles of the gospel. But I'm ready to go into the deep things of God. You know, I want to go deeper in the Word. I want to keep going, you know, deeper in my walk with God, deeper in my understanding of His Word, et cetera, et cetera. But listen to this. I just feel the Holy Spirit gave me illumination on this passage that I never had before. The next verse says, for everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness. And I thought, I don't know if word of righteousness, that's an interesting phrase. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. No. The mature Christian is the Christian who daily practices and discerns good and evil. So what do you do? even if you're a five-year-old child and you have the Holy Spirit in you because you were born again, you're born of the Spirit, you ought to know when everybody else is doing that terrible thing to that girl that you don't do it because the Holy Spirit within you says, no, I'm standing up. Now, maybe you stand loudly, or maybe you stand by not doing it, or maybe you have the courage to be mature and stand up and say, that is wrong. I'm not going to do that. Woo, that made me pumped up when I said him that. And so what I'm getting at is that I think a starting place, how are we to be unpopular, if you will, for the gospel? It's actually quite easy in the 2020s. We're living in such a difficult time that it's easy to stand up for Christ because the dark has lost its mind. All you got to do to be unpopular for Jesus in the 2020s at your school is to refuse to speak something you don't believe. That's nearly all you have to do. All you have to do is wake up every morning and say, Lord God, I am going to discern between good and evil. Maybe, just maybe, I hope you don't mind if I say something kind of raw here, but I'm going to get raw because let's don't mess around. Maybe I'm going to be the only high school male not watching pornography. Maybe I'm going to be the high school male bringing the fight against the enemy in this sick, demonic addiction and stronghold of pornography. And I'm going to tell my friends, why are you living like a slave to this? I refuse to watch it. And you know what? I refuse to watch rated R films as well. And I refuse to watch the PG-13 films as well because I know what it has in it. And I refuse to put that stuff in front of my face. And you can call me unpopular if you want to, but you're the one that's living like a slave and I'm living like a freedman. It's quite easy these days to hold an unpopular position. You just have to know you're going to be called a stick in the mud or not cool. And this is what I really don't like is when the Christian, there's a segment of the Christian church that then will call you legalistic or pharisaical. You know, I get called all these names, like you're just being so pharisaical or legalistic or this or the other. And I'm just going, how do you not understand that you're not fighting sin and you should be, and we all need to be, and I need to be doing it more. So I don't know if that's a good answer, but I guess what I'm trying to say is that sometimes I think we don't understand that maturity for Christ is not about how much things you know. It's about living like Jesus. It is about your actions because faith without works is dead. So I don't know if that's a good answer or not, but that's what's on my heart right now.
John, it's powerful, my friend, because as you're mentioning that God is continually working in the midst of this time, and we, as we stand up in the midst of culture and society, and as we conform only to the ways of Christ, we refuse to bow the knee, but we're going to step up, stand up, and step into this moment that God can do an incredible work through a willing and an obedient heart. My friend, Amen. As we wrap up our time together today, I came across a quote, just bringing it back to this new album, Revolution, and this guy rattled off all of the different accolades, all of the different awards that you guys have won through skill and that you guys have received, only not accepting the glory, but deflecting it onto Christ. But then he closed it out by saying, Revolution is expected to only extend Skillet's formidable legacy. John, how I want to wrap up today's conversation is that word legacy. And I just wanted to simply ask you this as we depart. How do you want, not only for yourself, but how do you want the band Skillet to ultimately be remembered?
You know, what a great question. I wouldn't mind. Do you mind if I answer a little bit long?
Yes, of course.
Apparently that's all I do. I need to shorten my answers. You get like three questions in. I want to go back to the title, Revolution, which you had said a second ago. Part of, I think, what we can do, I just want to expand my answer for the last question. Part of what Revolution is about having compassion for people who are suffering. So I already said the be bold part, right? Let's be bold. Let's stand against pornography. Let's stand against whatever these, we all know what the evil is. I don't think I need to rattle them off. We all know what it is. Another thing we need to do to be unpopular is at the same time, we need to be radically accepting of people who don't know Jesus. So when I say being bold and I say making a stand, I don't mean condemning people. So let's go back to my five-year-old self. Yes. Oh man, I wish I had stood for that girl. I wish I had stood up. You need to stand up for them, but not in a way that is condemning of people and saying, I hate you because you are this. I don't want to be friends with you because you are like this. These people are deceived by the enemy. So our war, our revolution, is not against flesh and blood. It's against powers of the air and principalities, against demonic evil that has them living as slaves. Some people don't know, Miss Skillet is an overtly Christian band. Everybody knows that. But yes. 80% of our business, maybe more, 80% of our income, probably 85%, is all from the mainstream rock and metal world. Mm. And I spend all 80% of my time touring in that world. They are my friends. We have meals together. A lot of them are atheists. Some of them really hate Christianity. They just do. Mm. And I don't judge them for it. We eat meals together. They hang out with my kids. We have a great time together. And I want that radical acceptance to be known. But the thing that I most want to be known for, if there is such a thing as a legacy for Skillet, I want to finish that race never, ever being ashamed of the gospel, never, ever backing down, never, ever somebody going, oh, you guys are Christians, and me going, no. No, I don't play that. I'm not going to be ashamed of the one who bled for me. Are you serious? I can't even imagine the thought, but I do understand how it gets there. And so if there is a legacy, I want Skillet to be the number one most vocal crossover band of all time. I'm not saying we are. I'm saying, I will that it be my legacy. And that's a holy competition.
That's right.
That's a good competition.
Hey, John, where can our audience go to find out more about you, maybe pick up the pre-release of this album, Revolution, and then also to pick up some of your other incredible resources that you have to offer?
Oh, man. All right, so new album, Revolution. You can go pre-order it now. Please do. Please go listen to it, things like that. Spread it around. We don't have as many, some of the normal ways that people listen to rock music. But because of that, we need people's help to get the word out. We need that word of mouth. So if you like the music, please go tell people about it. You can pre-order it at skillet.com. All of our social media is at Skillet Music on Facebook and Instagram, etc. So you can pre-save it on wherever you listen to music, Spotify, etc. Please go do that. Appreciate your support. And keep rocking, everybody. Keep doing the business of the kingdom and keep listening to rock music. Tell your friend, his last name is Brock, who likes to rock, or
Spencer
Spock?
Spencer Shock. That's right, Shock.
That is a radio name if I ever heard one. This is Spencer Shock, and I like to rock right here on Christian Counselors. I mean, would that be awesome? Why didn't God give me a good name like that? I'm John Shock. Man, that'd be cool. Oh, well, anyway, keep rocking, people.
John Cooper, thank you so much, my friend, for your boldness and all the great things God's doing in and through your life. And thank you for your time and willingness to join me today.
You as well. Keep it up, guys. Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors, the world's leading organization for Christian mental health care providers and advocates, with over 50,000 engaged members and students. On behalf of our hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, God's richest blessings to you all. Join us again next time, and don't forget to go to timclinton.com to contact us, or give us a call. You can call our constituent care team at 800-526-8673 for information on AACC resources, courses, scholarships, and live events. That's 800-526-8673. I'm Jim Kress. Thanks again for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family.
If someone in your family has depression or anxiety, it's hard to know what to do. We went through that. I'm Sam. The center is a place of hope. Lives are being healed. God is changing families.
Coming to the center it's just life altering. My relationship with my husband, my relationship with my family.
Struggling to keep it all together, or no one knows, or you're hiding things, or you feel like you've hit some crisis.
It's amazing to think that there could be so much change.
Man, I'm so grateful for the center. It's so helpful for me, and I'm so hopeful.
The center, a place of hope. Call today. A lot of people are surprised that insurance can help cover this.
Dive in, give yourself all to it. Watch what happens.
Call the Center, a Place of Hope, right now.
Hey, this is Dr. Tim Clinton, president of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you or someone you love is in a tough spot, stuck, maybe in need of serious help, someone to talk to, you need somebody, I want you to write down this number for the Center, a Place of Hope. The number is 888-726-8125. That number again, 888-726-8125. I think if you write that number down, you're going to be glad you did. I have referred a number of people, a great number of people, to this ministry for special mental health care. They're outstanding. I can give them highest praise. That number again, 888-726-8125. Speak to our colleagues, the admissions team at the center. A Place of Hope. Asking for help is hard. Finding help shouldn't be, especially Christ-centered help. Our friends at A Place for Hope, they're here to help. I hope you'll call today, and may God bless you.